So why don't we do that? Let's sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. How about that? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
I just want to give some glory to God because I sometimes get in this way, and I'm sure none of you know this, that I want things my way. And God is so great that He just keeps burning more of me away and turning more of me into Him. And it allows me to see just how wonderful and complex every puzzle piece fits together, and how you can't see, like, you know, if you look at it for the moment, you're not really going to see it. But if you can look at, like, where I came from and where things were even 3 years ago, and you look at where I'm at now, I mean, my children know God. I mean, they my daughter loves God. My son is getting there, and he loves Him, but that wouldn't happen without me, like, accepting and being obedient, and sometimes not agreeing with what my shepherds or my leaders tell me. And so I'm so grateful that this church is patient enough just to accept me as I am and just to continue loving me, and that we all know that being a Christian doesn't mean being perfect, but it means that I can trust the people in this room to know that even if we have an argument, or even if I'm really crappy to them one day, they're going to forgive me. Not because it's us, but it's because it's all in God's plan. That we're all supposed to love each other. And I noticed that flowing into other ways. Like, this driver this morning went flying by me and almost cut me off. And I'm like, Lord, just keep them safe if that's your will. And little things don't, you know, sometimes they affect me, but I'm getting it more often to where I can just say, that's okay. The world isn't going to crumble because that happened. God is in control of that. God is in control. And that's such an awesome feeling that I can just not have to control every little thing in my life. You know, that I have the greatest husband on the planet who will just take care of it. And I don't have to worry about, you know, what if this doesn't happen? What if I don't get that promotion? What if, you know, it's, and the great thing is if I fail a test with him, I just get to try again. I mean, I didn't get that from my biology class, which I passed, by the way, everybody. So I get to keep trying, and you don't get to do that at college. You get maybe one or two chances and you're done. You're just done. But I get to keep trying, and as long as I still have a breath in my body, I still get to keep trying, and I still get to keep learning. And I just want to give God praise today. I'm just so excited that you guys are all still with me, and I just want to just thank everybody for following God and for listening to Him, and just for all of us being exactly what we're supposed to be, no matter in what place we are.
The picture God gave me was, He said, if you can look at the video of somebody's life instead of the snapshot, because any of us will fail when you look at the snapshot. Because we all fail every day. We all mess up. But when you look at the overall video, are they heading toward God? You know, do they love God? Doesn't mean we all got baggage. But it's like, Are they going toward God? You know, is Jesus being formed in them? Are they the same this year they were last year? You know what I'm saying? One of the neatest things that I like about God, for me, and when you were saying it, is what I was hearing, is He never has a quitting place. He never cuts us off. We can cut Him off, but He never cuts us off. When we come back His way, okay? Now there's times where, as a believer, if we keep willfully going against Him, the Scripture will say, you know, teaches us and shows us that He can get to a place to where He's like, no. It's like, I had a son one time that got in trouble and he ended up in jail. And he called and said, hey, get me out of jail. And we prayed and God said, nope, best thing for him is to leave him in jail. And Don, Indiana Don, got saved and within a couple of hours got put in prison. He got arrested and then ended up going to prison. And he said he's really glad that that happened, because he said, if I would have got saved and not got in prison, I wouldn't have been in a place to be disciplined. And he said, I didn't have discipline, but I learned discipline by being in prison. I didn't have any choice. He said, so it helped me in my life. And see, that's what we need to do. God, help me to see through your eyes. Because we don't like what all's going on. That song he was just singing, when the darkness comes, still I will say. And then there was something else, another phrase you said in there, something about hard times or something. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't remember the words. Yeah, I was thinking about that one too. He gives and He takes away. Because He's had to do that in my life a lot of times. Finances, you know, He'd give us stuff and then He would take it away. It's like, now what are you going to do? You know? And I mean, we've been in some really places where we, you know, if it probably wasn't for our kids, we'd have been on the streets, okay? And I mean, God took us to extremes in our life because He wanted us to trust Him, not trust in, like right now, ask Dave. This is the first time that I can ever remember in Tub Glaze history, I don't have one job this coming week. Not one. I take it back. We just got two tub repairs from Frontline on Friday. They faxed in, or Saturday, whatever, okay? But apart from that, I mean, normally I've never had my book where I can look at a whole week, and I got two guys full-time where that's what it's supposed to be. And this last week wasn't, and several weeks have not been. But this next week, don't have a job. And I'm like, Lord. And at first I was like starting to panic or whatever, you know. And it was like, Lord, this is all up to you. It's like, if you're wanting to do something different, I told him that before when we got this president, right before we got this president, my business took a nosedive and I thought we were going to lose everything. And I said, okay, God, I said, if you're trying to change my direction and this is what I need to get my direction changed, then you bring it on, you know. That's what you need. It's like we got to get to a place where we're trusting in Him, because if we're not, when they go to give the mark of the beast and we're living out of our emotions like so many people, and we're trusting in the weekly paycheck, or we're as the whole, I don't know if you could see it, but they're trying to get you to depend completely on the government, trying to get you to depend on them, whoever them is, you know, instead of trying to get you to depend on Him. And it's like, we got to get to a place, because when they say, well, you're not going to be able to buy or sell, and then all your friends or your family, like, think about your parents or something, you know. I'm talking about you as adults or older people, okay? Because you're not up with the kids, you see what I'm saying? Older people, okay? Even though you're 14, it's okay. All right, so what I'm just saying is, think about it, your parents... If today you had to take Mark the Beast and you're like, no, I'm not going to take that, then your parents, your close people around you are not going to understand that. Well, how are y'all going to eat? How are you going to... I don't know. We're dependent on God. If God don't show up, I'm done. But what do I want? Worship the devil? I don't think so. God already told us. He gave us a warning a long time ago, didn't he? I mean, like, I think he wanted us to get it. What do you think? It's like, I'm giving this to you. He didn't just like spring it on us at the end. Oh yeah, by the way, you know, they're going to do this. He didn't do that. We've known this for years, right? So what are we going to do? And see, how do you get to that place? You got to be prepared. Think about the people you know, other Christians, other church people. How do they think? Talk to them. Ask them. They're not going to publicize it. You have to come take the mark of the beast. Well, of course not. Well, we asked our kids years ago, as they were adults, we said, what if you had to take a number in your hand or in your forehead, so, you know, because the way money is and whatever, and you know, they just would take it automatically out of your account. And I remember the one saying, oh, that's fine. I said, then you just took the mark of the beast. What? I said, if it's dealing with money, that's what the Bible talks about. If it's dealing with how you live, money, buying or selling, okay, and you have to take a mark to do that, you just took the mark of the beast. Well, I thought you had to take a 666. I wasn't ever going to take that. No, that says that's his number. Everybody can't have the same number. You know, we don't all take out the same pot. You know, what I earn, what I get. Oh, I run out. You know, you understand? We all get our own number. Doesn't mean it's going to be that our number is going to be 666. Any number. So start asking your friends. I dare you. Start asking the people you know. Just, I mean, on things like that. How are we talking about that on Christmas morning? I don't know. All I know is that when you were singing those and when you were talking, I was thinking about trusting in God and depending on God. And what I was hearing in you was John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and that you have love, forgiveness, long-suffering, one toward another. And that's what I was hearing coming out of her mouth.
I just want to wish Jesus a happy birthday. Thank Him for dying on the cross for my sins. And I'm just so thankful that He's not given up on me and He's working in me. And it seems like it's, you know, it used to be once in a while, but He didn't leave me alone anymore. It's every day. And that's okay, because I'm eager for it. I just want to share something. I went shopping Friday. Yeah, I was praying, dude. I did not want to go. I had an attitude, these people. So, off I go. So I go into Walmart, and I had to return two CDs, or DVDs, and pick, you know, the ones that are movies, the DVDs. And replace them and get two new ones. So I go there and there's no $5 movies anymore. The whole rack is gone. So I started to get disgusted and I go, wait, Lord, what do you want me to do here? I'm in the middle of the aisle, my hand up in the air. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I open my eyes and right straight ahead for DVDs. And they're on a stack. It's probably like a 6-foot wall, 6-foot high. And they're on both sides. So I'm going, first of all, I go, Lord, you've given me way too many choices. Could you maybe, like, knock it down a little? So I didn't know. I'm looking, and all of a sudden I notice there's this black lady who I'm guessing is 65, 70. And she's doing the same thing. So we keep on walking around like, oh, excuse me. You go ahead. And I got the other side. She goes, oh, excuse me. You go ahead. I mean, we did this for like 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, she goes, how are you today? I said, I am blessed. I said, you know, I got to wake up this morning, and I am so thankful. Well, then she started it. And then she says, what church do you go to? And I told her, she says, we go to Bible Way Ministry. She says, and you know something? We've been looking for a building for 6 years. She said the head pastor just a month ago had looked at 52 buildings. I said, I can relate to that. We're doing basically the same thing. And she says, you know what? Every time he goes and looks at one, it gets better. So then I shared our story that we're in the same process. It's like God brought us together. There's no doubt, no question. She got ready to leave, and I said, you know, I just want to wish you a happy Jesus birthday tomorrow. She started bawling. She came up and gave me a hug. She said, that was so refreshing. So she gave me her card. I gave her our card. And she goes, what kind of a church are you? I said, we're weird. She goes, I like that! I mean, it's like we fit like a glove. And I said, well, we're a relationship church. She goes, so are we! I mean, here we are, and these people are looking at us, because we're right in the middle of the big aisle. She has a cart, and I have, and we got like the aisle blocked. And I said, well, maybe we should move. And the lady said, they can go around. This is important. So then I get up to the cash register. Well, in between me and the cash register, now this thought of not wanting to shop is lifted. I'm walking down, and I'm, hey, Merry Christmas! Hey, and I was like Santa Claus, you know. Everybody I saw, I was saying Merry Christmas to. And I got some responses, and some were. So I prayed for them. So I get up to the counter. Again, here's this lady. I'm guessing her fifth. Pardon? The cash register lady. Dude. It's somebody that I wouldn't want to mess with. She looked like she was about to tear somebody's head off. Well, I wasn't going to lie. I went up and say, yeah, I've had that talk to me before. So I go up to her, and she's not smiling. And I go, you know what? There's a rumor in here that you can smile. Dude, she about broke her jaw. I said, now that didn't even hurt, did it? I said, you know Jesus loves you. She starts tears in her eyes. I said, I just want you to have a happy Jesus birthday tomorrow. And you know Jesus loves you. So as I'm starting to, we get all done, I'm start walking away, and there's two customers behind me waiting. And as I'm getting about halfway the door, I don't know if God told me, I turned around and the customers are watching me too, because she's watching me. She's not doing anything till I walked out of the store. So then I'm walking across to get to my car, and this guy comes flying through. And I got him to stop because I walked out in front of him. But there was other people, kids, so I kind of like stepped on the street, and he slowed down. He gave me the look that he didn't really appreciate that. And as I walked by him, his window went down, and I go, you know what? Happy Jesus' birthday. You know he loves you. And he got this blank look on his face. And maybe he's still sitting there, I don't know, but I just walked away. And I guess is what I'm saying is, it's so awesome to reflect Jesus instead of Glenn. I just want to say Merry Christmas to you all. I am so honored to be part of this church. And you still talk to me and everything, you know, when I show up. You know, but you truly, to me, are more family to me than my real family. And I want to thank each and every one of you. And God bless you.
Well, I just want to share that I have a new puppy to love. We named him Buddy. And I've been wanting a puppy or a dog for a long time. And it just seemed to be the perfect timing right now, so just wanted to share. I got a baby to take care of, and he's so adorable. He just, when I got him, he crawled right up my shirt. He only weighs about 3 pounds, and he crawled right up my coat and tucked his head into my neck. And he's a Shih Tzu Pomeranian, and he's just got this little flat nose, and I took a Kleenex to wipe his nose, and he let me do it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I am just going to love this. So anyway, he's just a lovable little puppy, and he fetches already. He's only 8 weeks old, and we're not house broke yet. No. Yeah. Right. Yep. Or if he's in my arms. Yeah. That's the part, you know, knowing, you know, what he wants, and it's kind of like a baby, you know. So anyway, Merry Christmas to y'all. I love you.
The past few days, God's been sharing with me how, just how deep His love is for us, how incredibly deep, and how incredibly hurt He gets, and yet He still loves us. You know, hugely, hugely hurt when we reject Him or sin. It really does affect Him. It really, really, really hurts Him. The things that we think are just, oh, that's no big deal. Yeah, I was a little rude, but, you know, they'll get over it. Or, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, you're sorry. You realize, oh, I was rude. I'm sorry. And you apologize. But the wound in His heart is bigger than we think, than it affects us. And, but yet His love overcomes that. Just the magnitude of His love and the magnitude of what He had to go through even to come here, just how incredibly huge His love is for us. And something He told me this morning, I just thought I'd share with you. You might relate, Harvey. He said, you know, my plans have been on hold. I mean, his plans are huge. And in making man, He had this plan to do all these other things that He hasn't revealed yet. Worlds, galaxies, I don't know, maybe He wants to create other creatures like in Star Wars, you know, I don't know. But I don't know what He wants to do, but He needs a family to do it. He wants a family to do it. He wants representatives to do this. And He has had to wait and wait and wait for His house to be full. It's not full yet. Only when His house is full, that the Bible says, right, in the parable of the wedding feast, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come into my house. Those who were invited to first eat at my supper will not be let in. But go and get the blind, the lame. Just get my house full. I've got to have a full house. He's waiting, and I related that with what Pastor Harvey said, is that Pastor Harvey kind of has to wait around for us to come into the maturity that God has for us, or to come into the fuller relationship with God, so that we can all go where God wants to take us together. And God, I think, is letting you know part of His heart. Thought I'd let you know that. And we might feel that even as family. You know, we can't do everything God wants us to do because maybe our husband or maybe our wife isn't there yet, or our kids aren't there yet. We can't do. But God knows that pain, and He's gone through that with us. And He loves us, and His love is so, so deep that He will wait as long as it takes, because He's love. One other thing that He's showing me is that He is breaking off pride in me. Thank you, Jesus. And that is very deep and insidious. And He does that with all of us. He gives us kids. That's a good way. You know, it's pretty, I don't know, what's the word, traditional way God uses of breaking off pride. And some of us need more help than others, so He enlarges our families, which are also blessings, you know. But He uses them for multiple purposes. He doesn't waste anything. Sometimes he uses pain and our health, and that's what God's doing with me. He's using my health and my kids' health, or lack thereof, to bring thankfulness into my life and to bring trust. And it's very painful. Just very painful, very annoying. Pain is annoying, isn't it? And it just doesn't leave you alone. It's just like, oh! And you can either choose to be thankful, regardless, and focus on not the negative, because that's complaining when we focus on the negative. If someone says you're a negative person, then that means you're complaining. That's not God. And you probably have something to complain about because there's pain here. So he gets you remind. It's like this opposite thing. He uses pain to help us to praise. Isn't that weird? He uses the opposite to get us to do what we're supposed to do. I'm going to have you focus on food constantly for your whole day. You know, your whole life. If someone offers you something, no, I have to go and research that for 2 hours before I can eat it. No, you may not give that to my child because I have to research that on the computer because there might be an ingredient. Tomato paste might have an allergen in it, so I have to write the company and I have to wait to hear back from them. May they eat this type of soup? Oh, well, this type of soup is okay. Oh, well, that product said everything was fine, but they ate it, and now they're not fine, or I ate it, and now I'm sick. So I know that regardless of what they said, this is bad. This does not work. It is, I could go on and on. Did you know that if we don't have wheat, and if we don't have corn, and if we don't have milk, those three things, do you know that you can still eat and live? But if those things got taken out of our society because there was a blight or there was a disaster or something, you know God's showing me how to eat and live and be thankful. So you come to me. I mean, in the last days, this is, I mean, it was a song when I was growing up. A piece of bread would buy a bag of gold. Is that in the Word in Revelation, isn't it? Yeah, you know, to get a piece of bread, you're going to have a bag of gold. I relate. The bread that we can eat is about a fourth of the size of a regular loaf and four times as expensive. Not exaggerating. So, wow, you know, I can eat greens now and I know how to fix them. I hated greens before. They were really intense, that flavor. But you know, when God, He will do what it takes. He'll have us deny our flesh, and if we won't do it on our own, then He'll just kind of impose that into our lives. He'll impose the situation into our life to where there is no option. And so you are going to learn discipline of character. You're going to learn to be thankful. And when you're not thankful, you're going to suffer as well. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the things that you see fit to impose upon us. Because then we can love you better and we can be molded into the shape that you have for us so that we can take the part that you have for us in your kingdom, in your household, whatever galaxy you want to have us lead, or I don't know, whatever He's going to do with us in heaven. So many things I'm sure He has planned. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
One of the things I'm really thankful for is that that God is really, like Hannah says, your children really teach you things, and they burn stuff off of you. God uses them in amazing ways. And one of the things that when I, on my trip to California, a couple of things, there was a couple of incidences with my mom. Usually before, I would get really, oh, and get angry at my mother and just, fine, whatever. and just not talk, just kind of withdraw from her. And there really wasn't anything that I did that was, I think, wrong, but she took offense at something, and so the Lord really worked on me and said, you need to apologize. You need. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to apologize because she doesn't take it. She doesn't, you know, there are people when you apologize to them, they, whatever, fine, you know, and they don't want to accept that. It's hard to accept those apologies. So I thought, well, maybe I'll email her. No, you need to apologize. So I went, all right, well, then you're just going to have to give me the right time. You're going to have to give me the peace, and you're going to have to give me the right words. And so I was able to apologize, and she was really, she took it, and it just kind of healed the relationship. And so the whole rest of the time was really, really good. And one of the real blessings is that my nephew went to church with me. He didn't do that the last time. And so that was a real blessing, and I was just really praying that as he went to Bill Johnson's church with me, that he was touched by the Spirit somehow, that there was a seed planted. My brother lives within a mile of Bill Johnson's church. But they're not at a place yet to really understand the full concept, and to them, it's a really way out there. And part of it, too, is that right across the street from them, there are two people who go to that church. I think two women and their husbands live there. And these people are extremely rude. They don't say hello to my brother and his wife. They don't, you know, like my brother and his wife don't even exist. And that was really heartbreaking, because what does that do? It gives my brother and his wife a total distorted view of what Bill Johnson's church really is about. And I almost wanted to put something in the plate to tell Bill Johnson that, but I didn't. I haven't thought about doing that yet. But it was really a good opportunity for my nephew to go. And I'm just praying that the Lord works in that. And my brother and I are going to be working on a project together. And so I'm hoping that through that project he and I work on, that I will be able to show Jesus to them and love them, so that they can see it's not about duty, it's not about rules and regulations, but that it is about love and it's about obedience, that God can't bless us unless we're obedient. So that was really a positive thing. It was one of the best, like I told my brother, this has been the best trip to California I have had in my entire life. In my entire life. It was really, really awesome. And it was only because of what God has done in me over these last 3 years that I was able to do that and not get irritated at my mom, especially. Hannah knows my mom. My mom is really, she's got a good heart. She really, really does. But as we all have gone through life and been wounded and hurt by people who love us, it closes us up. And, you know, the older you get, and when you stay like that, the harder it is for God to really get in there. And so this is, for me to just drop everything and go, said to her, she was important. And I'm really hoping that the Lord worked through that and worked through our time. And one of the things that is really, really wonderful about our kids, the older kids, because Carson's not there yet, is like Dave and Hannah, Rachel and Mike, Kate and Jonathan, all of those, and Nick and Eric right now, they have a foundation in God, and their marriages and their relationships are starting out with God as the center, and they're learning how to wait. Rachel came to our house. Rachel and Mike were there last night, and they were talking about things that were going on, and they're waiting. They're just waiting for God and what God says and when is the right time. And that is such a good role model for me, that all of these young people who we raised are showing me how to wait. I mean, look at Dave and Hannah's house. Here it is. He gives, 30 days notice, and they don't even have a house. And when I heard that, I just went, oh my goodness. I had to be really quiet. And then they're having a baby. Okay, where are you going to have the baby? What if you don't have a house? And I'm sitting there kind of worrying about all this stuff, but not saying a word. And then just kind of Hannah would say, and I'd go, really? Okay. But what happened? God just went boom, 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 and worked it all out. And it's a good lesson for me to watch them wait and listen and just go with what God says. Because I think for me, I wasn't taught that. And it's hard to learn that at an older age, because you want to take care of, you want to control what you control. And so to watch them role model that is really, really powerful. So, Merry Christmas. And I agree with everyone who has spoken that this is our family. And when the chips are down, we know that every one of us will still be loved and still be wanted. And we may not like each other all the time, but we always love each other. And I'm just really, really grateful for that.
Something that she just said that brought to my attention something that, how do I say this? Something that's brought to my attention a lot by God in dealing with people, including myself, is you know the idea of the blackboard? You know the idea of the blackboard that we talk about? Does everybody know what I'm talking about? There's a few. Okay. Our blackboard, everybody has their own blackboard. Every single person on the planet has their own blackboard. And what's on your blackboard is why you make the decisions you do. Your experiences, what you've been taught, your mindsets, your mind that has set, this is right. That's what a mindset is. This is wrong, this is right. Your belief systems, why you believe what you do, how you believe what you do, and what you do with what you believe. You know, how we cut ourselves so much slack we don't do anything, we procrastinate. You know what I'm talking about? So, our blackboards are why we make the decisions we make every day. Whether we brush our teeth or not, whether we make our bed or not, whether we make our bed and say that's good enough, or whether we do it right. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't ever make a bed, but okay. It's just what came out. I just felt like that's what I was supposed to say because somebody was supposed to hear it. Three years ago, Patty was just talking about in the last 3 years. 3 years ago, God brought her to a place to where she said to God, whether she knows this or not, she said to God, God, here's the eraser to the blackboard of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life is what it's really about. I want you to say what's right or wrong. About 3 weeks ago, Joy did that. See, she came here for a long time. She came here for a long time. Well, she intermittently came here, for a long time. Whatever. And she intermittently came here for a long time. But they came to a place, something happened in Joy's life like about 3 weeks ago. Something happened in her life about 3 years ago. But I'm challenging you because you may be coming here and have come here for a long time. And see, because I've gone through this and because God's made it so aware to me, and that blackboard idea, it's not mine. It's God's. When we started this church, I told you it was against my will. And when God started this church, shortly into it, I said, why? Because I would talk to other preachers and stuff, and it was just like you shined a light in their eyes. They're just like dumbfounded. In the comics, I haven't looked at comics really in years. They used to have Orphan Annie. She always had white circles for eyes. Did you ever notice that? Did anybody else? I'm a detail person. Okay. It's because blank what? You know? I talk to preachers and they, many of them, and they have a blank look. They don't know what we're talking about. Their whole life is about religion. Their whole life is about rules. Their whole life, and I'm not mad at anybody or against any church or anything. Don't misunderstand me. I love everybody that's in religion in the world. Religion is better than no religion, whether it's Christianity or not. Because it has rules. It has higher goals, higher standards. It helps to protect from hurting other people. Christianity, Christian religion, is of course better because it's based on the real God instead of the false gods. But even the false gods, if you look at them, their basic rules are based on the Ten Commandments as a rule. I mean, that's what they basically are. But I'm challenging you, because when I ask God, why are we seeing things that other preachers aren't seeing? Why? And they seem to be more successful than us. They have hundreds or thousands of people that are in their churches. I don't get it, Lord. And he said, because Harvey, when you met me, you were so amazed at the reality of my very presence. He said, you didn't know I was alive before. He said, you heard it, you believed it, but he said, when you met me, it was completely different. And he said, my reality to you so amazed you that you said, God, what else is it that I'm wrong about that I think I'm right about? But you see, like, I can pick on people in this room particular, but I'm just going to challenge you this way, okay? You may have been in church for a long time. You may know a lot of things. Like I told somebody, I think it was yesterday, I said, you know what you know, but you don't know what God knows. But see, if you, in your blackboard, if you've already got it figured out, when you come here, because somebody just, basically, this revelation was made this week in some interrelationships with me. When you come here, if you think you already understand and know God, you think you're already successful, you think you already, you know more than other people, I'm in ministry or I've been in ministry or whatever, because a lot of you have in different ways. Then when we talk, you think it's all my opinion or Sue's opinion, or you judge it. And when you judge it, the only way you can judge something is by setting yourself up as God. Are you in agreement with that, or do we need to belabor that point for a minute? Anytime we judge something, we have to set ourselves up as God. When we find ourselves judging another person, who was it that just said it? You cut me off when I was driving. I like what Joy said. I just said, God, please help them to be safe when they're getting where they're going. And she didn't need to add, if it be thy will, because God desires it also. But God will allow us to make choices that hurt us for us to get the needed lessons, even if it means we have to lose a leg or an arm or an eye, unfortunately, or a mate. Because God loves us so much, but he allows us the freedom. See, he doesn't quit loving us. And he doesn't put expectation on us. But we put expectation on our kids. And we put expectation on each other. And I've tried. See, y'all think I'm just weird. You don't understand. God created me like this on purpose for you. I'm not saying the sin nature. I'm sorry for that part. That's under the blood, and he's dealing with me. I'm a work in progress. He hadn't given up on me. He's not disappointed. You know, I don't look in the mirror and go, man, God's so disappointed, because here I still am, you know. He could take me out of the pool. Come on home. You're like messing up too much, you know. But God doesn't say that with anybody. See, God made me like I am in this respect. I'll think I'm weird, but it's like, where was I going with that, Lord? I'm just trying to remember. I just felt like that was a flow. See, we put expectation on each other. And like God has had me say, hi, I'm the leader. I tell this to people all the time. Because I tell them I'm the shepherd. I'm the pastor. And, oh, I need to be nice. Oh, I need to put on my little God face. Because I'm around a man of God or something. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but people act that way. And I appreciate that. But I tell them often, hi. I say, this is what I say to our people. Hi. I know I'm the leader. But if you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'll let you down. Because I am a good example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. I'm not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the sinner. You see, when we think the one fruit of the Spirit that I do have, God's like, I'm going to deal with that. And because, see, you do have that, but God's taking you deeper. But God is also dealing with your pride when you think, see, you may hurt yourself and think low of yourself and think, I'm unworthy and I don't have any other fruits of the Spirit. But see, I see other ones in you. I see all those other eight in you. I see them in you. You don't see them in you. But when we lift ourselves up in an area, that little toy that they made, when you hit one, another one pops up. Well, God invented that, because when you pop up with pride, he's just going to take his little hammer and pop you, you know, to make sure he's going to deal with that area. You know what I'm saying? And we don't own anything except our sin. That's what we own. And when we don't own that, we don't get deliverance. We don't own anything. You see, that goodness, those works, those are just works of God. We're the trophy of Calvary. Do you understand? We're a trophy of Calvary. So instead of putting expectation, I'm sorry, but this is me confessing here. I put expectation. I put expectation in people, and then God keeps dealing with me and saying, don't put expectation in people. Like, I put expectation in my wife. I have these ideas of what I think a wife should be or should do. And especially as she walks with God, I put more, because I've seen this, so I expect this, right? Well, what about when she falls back, like she did this week, in an area for a period of time, and I think she emailed you or some other people about it, about getting mad at somebody. I don't remember who it was or what it was. You know? And it's like, how you doing? God bless you. What do we do with that? You see, God's like, Harv, do you see her sin nature? Do you see where she's failing here? Yeah. So what are you going to do, Harv? Judge her? Because when we judge, we're setting ourselves up as God. Because that God's the only one who can judge. If we judge, we're guilty. Correct? So what did I need to do? I needed to love her. I needed to believe in her. I needed to cut her slack. I needed to forgive her. I needed to understand her. I needed to support her. I needed to pray for her. And that's what God was showing me to do. Something that I've noticed in my life, and I hear Glenn tell it to me. He says, in dealing with Roxanne, you know, the old Roxanne, you know, the Roxanne nature that's being conquered. And I'm telling you. And, you know, Glenn says, I want to say something, and I just bite my tongue. He says, I just get quiet. And I have said to him so many times, that's the best thing you could have done, Glenn. You know? Because you would have only messed it up by opening your mouth. And how do I know? Because I'm so guilty of that. And what I find is often with Sue, and I'm saying this to you, mates, you don't have to say something. The Holy Spirit didn't die. He didn't go on vacation. He won't be back from Disney World next week. He's here. He can tell them. Every time we mess up, God's not jumping in our face telling us about it. Down inside, we know. Are we Christ-like enough to admit it, to own it? To own it publicly, to own it to the ones we did it to. I'm challenging you to take your blackboard. Have the last 3 years been like majorly different in your life? Because I can already tell you they have, whether you admit it or not. Okay, they have, right? I mean, completely way different. Joy got like this epiphany, this revelation, like about 3 weeks ago, and she comes up to me after church, she goes, this is my church. I'm like, yeah. She goes, like, I'm supposed to be here. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I mean, like, I'm supposed to be here like all the time. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I'm supposed to be doing what you're saying. I'm like, yeah. You know, like, are we going somewhere here that, you know, like, is there something, you know? And I know it because God's telling me, you know, and I'm just like, but it's like she's like being blown away and you're thinking, yeah? Don't our kids do that? They come and tell us stuff. Mommy, Mommy, when I use the pen, it actually puts marks on the paper. Really? I didn't know. We ought to write this in the paper so everybody could know, you know. But what do we do with our kids? I'm busy. Yeah, go away. And what did I do with Joy? Yeah, really? Wow, really? Oh, I'm so glad you know. And it's like, just love her there. Do you understand? Now, what I'm saying is, I'm saying something happened to her, and it happens with everybody that comes here, I've noticed, but it takes everybody different amounts of time. Some people, it takes a lot longer. But I notice everybody, it seems to take about a year at least of coming here before they start it, before kind of like the rubber hits the road and they go, yeah. This is a relationship church. Yeah. You love me. Yeah. But you're not giving up on me. Yeah. Go ahead. You see, everybody needs to know that they're loved and accepted, but they don't know it if we put expectation on them. A spirit of religion when people don't go to church, let's take her brother, I guess that was the two people that go to Bill Johnson's church up across the street. Is that your brother? Her brother doesn't go to church. But here's these church people that go to Bill Johnson's church. Bill Johnson's into relationship, all the things that we talk about. I mean, every time I ever hear him talk about stuff, it's right along and say, God's given me so much stuff, and then confirmed it. I'll read something or hear some message by him, and it's like the same exact thing. You know, and other people tell me, you got to hear Bill Johnson. You must have read Bill Johnson's book. No, but maybe we got it from the same source. You know, because God won't let me. But every now and then, whenever I come into contact with Bill Johnson, he sounds like he'd fit right in here. It's like we're the same thing. But here's these people that go to his church. And here's her brother. And he says, what they show me is rudeness, coldness, no love, no acceptance, no reaching out. So here's what I'm going to say, okay? I'm just challenging you on the blackboard thing. I'm just challenging you. Before I talk to you about the blackboard thing, let me just say this little thing. If God wants you here, then there's things being said and done here that God wants you to get, or He'd have you somewhere else. I'm sorry, I know that's deep. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go so fast. Okay. So that means if you pick and choose, number one, when you come, or if you pick and choose what we say and then you go home and interpret it, is that getting what God wants you to get, or did you just filter out through your filter of religion, through your filter of setting yourself up as God? Well, I know. Well, I believe. Well, this is what I do. Folks, are Sue and I dictators? Are we trying to run your life? Are we trying to make you? I'm asking you for your sake, not mine. But if you come here and we say stuff, does God talk through us?
Yeah.
Okay. Then what I'm saying to you is, if that's the case, okay, and realize, I told this to Glenn and DBJ. I may have told this to Dave. But I am so, God is bringing me to such an awareness. You see, the closer the moth could be back here and see that light is bright, but the moth is attracted to the light. But the closer it gets to the light, the more heat it feels and the more intense the light becomes. Do you understand? As we are drawn to the light, Jesus, we become more aware of the heat and the brightness of the light. Well, guess what light does? It reveals, it exposes what's in us. So the more I walk with God, the more I realize my sinful nature, all the stuff I don't like that you don't like. I don't like it. I didn't like it in the first place. I'm sorry you got inflicted by it. I don't know how to hide it. You know, I don't know how to keep it in, you know. If a few weeks ago I told God, as He was drawing me maybe for a quick look, I said, God, do you want me to resign? Because I feel so unworthy. I am so aware
of what I am, and it's like I shouldn't be where I'm at. And immediately he was like, no. And I'm like, but God, I hurt people, and I don't want to hurt people. I offend people, you know? I don't want to offend people. And he's going, Harv, I know. He's going, but you're aware of it, and you admit it. He said, and you don't want it. He said, you're not trying to hide it, put on a show, you know? Set yourself up as the example, right? So he helped me to understand that. Now, so I'm saying to you, if we say something to you, understand it's because I'm just trying to say whatever God wants me to say. And if I say it, and if you can't find fault with it with the scripture, then maybe that's God talking to you, because God has you here. And when you, now we come to our blackboard, if you would today, if you've never done it before, because you may understand what I've talked about before, but you've never really applied it. Have you ever read Hebrews 4:2? Let me remind you what it says. It says, Hebrews 4:2, it says, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It means God was preaching. It benefited this person, and we've seen the result in 3 years. But maybe this person didn't mix it with faith. I already know. And that just stopped the flow of God, of life, of change in your life. Because you already know. I already know. So is that what I should have said to Joy? I already know, Joy. Of course you're supposed to be here. I've been trying to tell you that. How would that have ministered to her? It would have ministered, but it would have been in the wrong spirit, wouldn't it? It would not have encouraged her. It would not have brought her along. It would not have believed in her. So how do we treat our kids? How do we treat fellow workers? How do we treat our mates? Okay? I already know. I got expectations. So watch this. I'm challenging you today. Hey, we're not beating ourselves up. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Take everything where you are and bring it under the blood of Jesus. Right now, real simple. You ready? James 4, 7 and 8. God, I submit myself to you. I submit myself to your authority. I submit myself to your control. I submit myself to your will, to your way. I bring myself under your blood, under your protection, under your provision. I'm completely submitted to you. I am a subject of your kingdom. I'm subject to you. I'm not a rebel in your kingdom. I'm not a self-righteous in your kingdom. I'm not a I know already know it all in your kingdom. I'm subject. I submit myself right now to you. I bring myself under you. Now, devil, I don't want nothing to do with you. Jesus, I only want you to live in me. Everybody okay now? Everybody can smile now? You got a little happy face on your heart? Okay, here we go. Okay, is everybody okay now? Is everybody okay now? Okay. So nobody's beating themselves up, right?
No.
Is anybody beating themselves up?
No.
Because I can't go forward until I know. Is anybody beating themselves up? Is anybody brave enough to tell me if you were? I'm glad you're brave enough, hot dog. You know what? Sometimes we do that, and we shouldn't do that, should we? Or anybody else. Because it doesn't feel good, so we shouldn't do it to anybody else. That's a golden rule, the royal law of the whole Bible. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Isn't that like the coolest thing?
Yeah.
So watch this. You know what I love? I love hugs. So see, I get hugged all the time because I love hugs. So here's what I'm going to say. Today I'm challenging you. Take your blackboard. God, right now I want to take my blackboard. Everything where I make my decisions from, my mindsets, my belief systems, my feelings, what I've been taught, what I've experienced, God, I want to lay it all down at your feet, Jesus. I want to give you the best present I've ever given you. I want to lay down my blackboard at your feet. All the decisions, why I make the decisions I do, I'm laying them down at your feet. This is my gift to you, my gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I've had to travel a long way to get here to you, Jesus. It took me all this time just to get to this point. I want to give this to you, Jesus. Now, Jesus, everything I think I know, I'm suspect. Everything I think I know could be wrong. Everything. Well, I think I'm right on the King James Bible. Well, I think I'm right on this. I think I'm right on that. I will lay it all down at your feet, Jesus. I am willing to start all over with you as my Lord. I want to honor you so that all my choices, all my words... Now realize, there can come an epiphany. Boom! An epiphany is a God occurrence, like a God showing up in your life where it's like, whoa! You know, like the angels showing up to the shepherds. You know what I'm talking about? That's an epiphany, okay? God could have you could have an epiphany today, but understand, and then 3 years from now, you could look back like Patty and say, wow, 3 years ago. And see, Patty could say this, and then the devil wants to beat her up and say, well, this and that, and you still do this, and blah, blah, blah. But all she needs to do is come to me for confirmation. And I say, Patty, you know what? I didn't like you. I knew you were supposed to be at Burning Bush. And I would pray. Do you know how hard it is to pray when it's like, God, I know she's supposed to be here, but I hope she doesn't come again. I don't want to ever have to go through those looks and those attitudes. And as soon as she walks in, darkness and Darth Vader invade. I don't like it, Lord. But on the other hand, I know she's supposed to be here. God, please do something with her. But you know what? That's how each one of us could be with each other. I don't like it when he comes in my life. I don't like it when he interrupts my space any day, any time. I don't like those spirits. I don't like the darkness. I don't like the attitudes. I don't like blah, blah, blah. Guess what? We have that. What do? We pray, but what we need to do, I'm telling you, this is prayer, but maybe different than just say the word pray. We need to pray, but what I mean by pray is take them, and Lord, I'm giving you to her, and watch God take his hands and say, I got her. I can deal with her. I'm good, because I can. But I have to do that with my own flesh. I have to give myself to Him. I started reading a book by Watchman Nee and started beating myself up about 2 weeks ago. And, oh my word, because what he's saying is true, but it's like, I can't do it. What I'm saying is, when you're feeling burden and pressure, it's because you're trying to do it. And if you're trying to do it, that's religion. It's a spirit of religion. And you're still under it. And God can deliver you from that. The first step, I'm challenging you. Take your blackboard and bring it to Jesus and tell Him, I'm laying everything I think I know and understand at your feet. It could all be wrong, even though I think it's right. But we all think we're right. The Muslims think they're right. The Buddhists think they're right. You see what I'm saying? Everybody thinks they're right. Do you know who's right? Who else is right? Well, Jesus is God. Okay. So, God's right. Jesus is right. Holy Spirit's right. Who else is right? Guess what? We're still not right. We're just in agreement with the one who is. God has been helping me to understand that more. I am never right. I used to think I was always right. And then I came to a place of understanding that I wasn't always right, but I still thought I was right 99% of the time. Concerning everybody else, I was right. It was just me and God. Sometimes I was wrong. I'm serious! And if you're honest, that's where you've lived. You think you're right. If you realize you're never right, God is the only one who is right, it will help you so you're not fighting pride, because you will find yourself living more in humility. I am never right. So God, all these things I think I'm right about, but God, I've walked with You, but God, I read the Bible, but God, I've been in ministry, but God. And He's like, you're not right. And if you'll lay it all down, He said, I will give back to you what is right. But I can't give it back to you if you won't never let it go. Because you're the one who's saying what's right. He said, I gave you the Holy Spirit to bear witness with what's right. But when you think you know what's right in your head, you're still in charge. You're still God of your life. Doesn't it say that in Luke 6:46? Why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? They don't do what He says. We don't do what He says when we think we've got it figured out. We think we know better. I love You, Jesus. I want to give You a present today. I want to give You the blackboard of my life. I'm no longer right. I realize now I'm never right. You're the only one who's right. And I want to come in agreement with You. But I'm even deceived about that. So I'm willing to lay it all down and let You give back to me what is truth. I want to honor You today, Jesus, on Your birthday. And you will find, as you go forward, and realize you're going to walk into this, because He's going to deal with stuff layer by layer. But it's got to start with a choice. Okay? And I don't dislike Patty anymore. I like her. But I like her. See, I could have liked her before. But I couldn't like what she was agreeing with. I couldn't like Patty being God. She just doesn't make a good God. None of us do. But see, when Patty said, I'm not God, and I'll surrender to God. All of a sudden, I could start liking Patty. When she walked in 3 years ago, I told it to God immediately. Look, she's different. He's like, I know. I could see it the moment she walked in the door. Her whole face was different. Everything was different. I told my wife, I started telling everybody, did you notice? She's different. She decided to quit being God. She's decided to give God the blackboard of her life. I'll let you erase what's not true. And I'll let you rewrite on the table of my heart what is true. And it can't just bear witness with me, well, I think this is what's right. But how come everybody around you that God put in your life says no? It's because you're God. Are you with me? Hearing what I'm saying? When we speak, it's because we only because we love you. We want to give you. And a lot of times, somebody said something to me yesterday on the phone. He called me Indiana Dan and said, brother, he says, I love you. I go, yep. He goes, I really feel like I'm disappointing you or something. I don't know how he said it, but it's like, I prayed. I felt like God told me he wants me to go to a different church tomorrow. And I said, that's fine. He said, but that means I won't be coming there. And I said, that's fine. If you prayed, you felt like that's what God told you. I'm not God. I said, I appreciate you calling me. He said, you said something this week. He started saying this. He said, you know, I've been challenging people with that thought. Do you, and here, did you hear me say this thought? Because I don't remember saying it, but he said that he kept saying it. I said, where'd you get that thought? He said, you said it. I said, I did. You see, a lot of stuff I say, I don't even know I said it. Because I didn't say it. I just let God say what He wants. Are you ready? He said, what He's been asking people around Him is, do you have enough Jesus to give away? Do you have enough Jesus to give away? You see, those people across the street from her brother, they don't have enough Jesus to give away. They may not even have Jesus yet. Unfortunately, they've let it be known that they go there. But a church is a hospital for sinners. So at least they're going to the right place. They'll get some healing. And they're not our job anyway, are they? They're Jesus' job, right? What do they need? Love. What else do they need? Forgiveness. What else they need? Time. What else they need? Honesty. What else they need? Understanding. Hang on a second. You're right. But they'll get that. They need understanding. They need to be believed in. They need to have time. Do they need to be judged? Do they need a letter telling them you're a bad example? I thought the same exact thing. God's like, Harp, did you know that I didn't die? Yeah, I know. I'm not saying she did something wrong. I'm just saying I'm trying to do this for our own thinking. What do they need? What do our kids need? They need to have consistency, but they need it in love. They need us to believe in them. They need us to forgive them. They may need discipline. I'm sure they do. But they need love more than they need discipline. And love is accepting them right where they're at, believing in them, giving them the time they need. It doesn't mean you cut the rules. It just means that you just keep loving them. Have we lowered standards here or something? Or do we keep the same standards? We just keep loving you, and when you mess up, we just keep believing in you and keep accepting you, right? Isn't that what we should do? You see, when we're in this pot together, and we get, this is what I was telling Nate before a number of times. I said, when people come here, they get under an influence, and it gets in you. And then you go out because you become like what you associate with. And then when you go out, that's what you give. But you could tell people that are hanging out around religious spirits because judgment, harshness, expectation, right? Intolerance, narrow-mindedness, my way or the highway. We're the only ones. A guy told me yesterday, he said, man, when I go to the church I go to, it's like I get the idea that they're the only ones that are right with God. I say, God's having me start and go to another church sometimes, you know, like for other, a different midweek service or something, whatever. He says, they're not like that there. Maybe God's stretching him a little bit, as much as he can handle. See, God doesn't necessarily want him there, but that's where he chooses. God's going to work with whatever we give him. What are we giving him? What if we gave him our blackboard? I love you. Wasn't a whole lot of scripture today. Please forgive me. I like to give a whole lot of scripture. Please forgive me. I have to look up blackboard in the Bible. Let's see if I can find it in my concordance. I'm not sure. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Awesome. And see, the thing is everybody needs different amount of time. Everybody needs different amount of time. So we can't expect everybody to do the same thing or get it. Okay?